Always Well in the Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Amaja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Joe Mikindo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, T. Hamill, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Jared Gibbs, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville, Patreon edition. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and welcome everyone to our first Level 33.1. Our first resident of Level 33.1 is Mr. Nathan McKenzie, host of Superman, the animated podcast, and a patron of this podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville. So first of all, Nathan, thank you so much for being a patron, and welcome to Level 33.1. What do you think?
Well, it's very very great to be here, Zach. Thank you very much. Obviously, I've loved your podcast from the first episode and just want to continue on being a Patreon. And just finished listening to your last one this morning about episode 7, I think it was, Transference. So, yeah, absolutely love it.
Tell me something about how did you come across Smallville and then therefore come across our podcast?
So as a kid growing up, I was, I sent you a letter a while ago, an email actually. So I was adopted as a kid growing up, and when I first watched the first ever Christopher Reeve Superman movie, obviously watching that, it was very similar, obviously without the superpower side of things, growing up, and obviously my love for Superman grew from there. Always had, I think, a VHS copy of Superman 2 and Superman 4, so don't hold a grudge. But the funniest thing about having the VHS of Superman 2 was it had all the deleted scenes you don't see on the DVD today. So if I still had a copy of that, I'd prefer to watch that than the DVD. But growing up from there, I had Superboy on TV over in Australia. So I watched that after school as I went home. And the only reason I watched it was because my love of Superman. Obviously, we all know the quality of what the show is about. So.
Yeah.
But then Lois and Clark came on TV, so I watched the pilot of that and was hooked from day one watching Lois and Clark. Probably the first two seasons came out in Australia, then after that season 3 and 4 was very hard to come by. I didn't really get a chance to see that until later on in life. Then when I got a copy of season 1 to 4, I watched all that, and then just watching TV as you do, and just saw it a preview of Smallville. And straight away, I knew exactly what Smallville was. I'm pretty sure no one else was using that name for anything else. And then my love for Smallville grew from there. Same again. The first to maybe even five seasons was on TV in Australia. Then it was very hard to come by after that. So I was one of those ones that as soon as it came out, that you could either download it or you could actually, I actually bought a lot of the series from the States. So on Amazon and stuff like that. So I got that sent over to us in Australia. And being, I'm actually an Australian soldier and being deployed overseas to, I think it was Afghanistan. Actually at that stage, I think I had, 7 seasons of Smallville. So I just watched that from way to go and obviously got me through my time over there. So that's where my love of Smallville has been. And, I was actually a mate of mine, got me onto the podcast side of things because I was talking about, it takes me about an hour to get to work, where I live in, near Brisbane. And I always said, I just listen to the radio. And he goes, you should listen to a podcast. And I said, oh, it's a great idea. So I jumped online and the first thing obviously I typed in was Superman. And funnily enough, it wasn't actually your podcast that came across first, Zach. It was actually Matt Truex with Lois and Clark.
And
gotcha. So I started listening to that. And then I heard you. I think I can't remember which season. I think it was first season you came on, I think it was.
I came on in the middle of the second season. I did the episode where Lex Luthor comes back from the dead.
Ah, that's right, because they always come back. And when I heard you talk about your podcast, and then straight away I said, oh, I'll have to listen to that. And then, yeah, that's when my love of your podcast came about. So obviously I was a bit far behind, so I had to try and catch up. And now I'm obviously have caught up and become a Patreon. Absolutely love your Patreon. Really enjoy. It's hard to watch, obviously, the movies you do when you and Lance do the commentaries, but I actually listen to that on the way to work. And the best thing is, and the same when you do the, the episodes of Smallville, is that I can just picture the episode or the movie in my head as you're talking about it. So I'm actually watching it as I'm driving to and from work. So I really appreciate what you do and what all your guests do, and it's really enjoyable.
Well, yeah, thanks, David. I appreciate that. We try to make it where you can listen to it without watching the movie, because I there's a lot of podcasts and YouTube channels and whatever that have commentaries, and I will almost never watch the movie along with it. But we kind of make it where you can, like the 3-2-1 press play, you can watch along with it. Yeah. But just the people, that's why people like podcasts. They listen to them when they're on the go, when they're on a commute, when they're doing chores around the house, whatever that may be. So it's good to know that, because I know there's sometimes there are some dead spots in the commentary. We try to keep talking through the whole thing, but I know sometimes, because I'll listen back to them before I publish them, I'm like, that was a good minute where no one said anything. So we try not to get drawn in too much. And then, repeat maybe what happened on screen just to kind of give you some context. So it's good to know that you're seeing the movie in your head and you're not just thinking, what are these guys talking about? I'm glad it translates well.
Oh, it definitely does. And unfortunately, at the moment, the podcast that I do it by myself. And it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be doing it by yourself, because it's very hard to come up with your own, your funny bits and stuff like that. So it's I understand exactly what you're talking about with those bits throughout the movie.
Yeah. I've just done the one episode of this podcast by myself. The Superboy April Fool's joke I did, way back a couple years ago now, and it was just me, and man, that is challenging. I've done individual things every now and then, one off on different podcasts and stuff, but especially when you're used to the back and forth, because that's what we try to do here. We try to make it like a conversation. That's why I like having the rotating guests and co-hosts, because it makes it fresh. You get different people's takes, the back and forth bouncing off each other. You go to a whole, I love going on tangents, and hopefully you guys as the listeners like our tangents, but those are some of the most unexpected things happen from when somebody brings something up, like, oh, you too? And you go off on some tangent about it. But for example, so in your, and thank you for sharing your Superman and Smallville fandom history. I you mentioned a TV version of Superman too. Now, I believe what you're referring to is the restored international cut. That's what they call it. And it has, you're right, it doesn't have the Marlon Brando scenes, for example, because those weren't even released until the Richard Donner cut. But it has, and I've never seen this version, okay, but I've done a lot of internet research about it in my time being a Superman fan. But there's a whole lot of scenes that are in it that were Donner and Lester, for example, but that were not in any version of the movie. And it was from the time when they were making these expanded cuts for television. Like Superman the movie came out on Blu-ray year and a half ago or so. We did an episode about it, that 3-hour cut, and that was great.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like, I've never seen these scenes. I'm so glad they made this. I can't wait till they come out with Superman 2 and Superman 3, but those have yet to come. And Superman 2 of all of them is the one I really want to see.
Well, just to put it into perspective, at the end of it, the second one, Superman 2, at the end, so they've just defeated Zod and obviously his crew. They come out to the front of the Fortress of Solitude. They've pushed Lex onto, I think, the firefighters, whoever came out to
the Arctic the North Police, Pole. Nathan. They're called the Arctic That's Police. That's them,
yep. Which is... You're exactly right. But Superman actually, he looks at the Fortress of Solitude and actually destroys the fortress. And it's very hard watching Superman 4, and then he goes back to the fortress. That was very confusing as a kid growing up watching that, thinking, hang on a minute, he just destroyed the fortress, but now he's back? Unless it was a scene that was supposed to be filmed many years ago, and it was supposed to be before that movie, I'm not sure. But But yeah, there's definitely a lot of scenes in Superman 2 I remember from that VHS movie that I watched the DVD, and it just does not bring me back to my childhood. Especially the fight scene. There was a lot more to that fight scene as well.
Yeah, it's got to be weird for people, especially who grew up watching these extended versions. Like Star Trek 2 is another one that has some alternate versions.
Yep.
The Halloween movies on TV. Like, you grow up, and me and my family, we used to tape stuff off TV. So, like, I can imagine, you know, other people watching their VHS copy off TV over and over and over, and then you're like, oh, good. It finally came out on DVD or Blu-ray. And you go buy it, and you're like, wait a minute, this is not the movie I remember watching. Like, am I crazy? did I misremember? But fortunately, the internet has become this archive of these things, and we can all be like, no, we saw this too. You're not crazy. These scenes do exist. And so hopefully, as I understand it, they found, like, the film print of the TV version of Superman the movie. So all they had to do was scan it, clean it up, and that's why we got it on Blu-ray and HD. Like, you know, I would love that to happen for Superman 2, Superman 3, but they would need to find the film print. I would even take just, like, the broadcast standard definition at this point just to see a complete version of this. But that is like, the holy grail of things I want to see left. I want to see these Christopher Reeve Superman movies, the extended cuts in high definition. But if those don't exist, I'll take it in standard definition, because those are – he is still, like the when people think of Superman in pop culture, he's still the one people think of, you know. So despite everyone's best attempts to either embrace it like Brandon Routh or completely go against it like Henry Cavill, like, everybody comes back to Christopher Reeve. So, like, just give us – these are the last pieces of, like, his legacy as Superman. Give us these extended versions of his movies in HD, please, and then I think we can all go home happy.
Yep, I totally agree, Zach. Totally agree.
So, as I mentioned starting off, you do have a podcast of your own called Superman the Animated Podcast. And, you know, part of level 3.1 is, you know, you're on that level on the Patreon. We get to talk about something for an episode together, which will be released to everyone on the main feed. Now, I thought about this. I know this is like a Patreon thing, but if somebody's on level 33.1, I would have to have a wide audience. I want people to get to hear you, hear your story, hear our conversation. So this is going to go on the main feed, everybody, just so everybody knows. So, but what we had talked about beforehand was like Superman animation, kind of what our thoughts on it were, and like as you were telling me before, off microphone or on microphone, but off recording, however people say that. It's so funny when they say off microphone. You were talking into a microphone to each other. I don't know if people say that, but everybody knows what we mean. You know, there wasn't a lot of conversation going on about Superman in animation, and that's what kind of inspired you to start your own podcast, right?
Yeah, it certainly was. Like I said, you know, your podcast is definitely one of the biggest podcasts out there regarding Smallville and Superman as a whole. That's what I've seen from, especially over here in Australia. Like I said, listening to Matt's podcast as well. I hope you give it to him a little bit, the fact that he should go and finish seasons 3 and 4, but when I don't know when that's going to occur.
they're gonna get back on it. They're on a bit of a hiatus, but they're gonna get back on it. So.
Oh, fantastic. But yeah, and I didn't think, looking through podcasts and the like, the animated side of things of Superman, there wasn't much to talk about. And one thing I was thinking about, funnily enough, listening to your podcast on the way to work every now and again, and like I said, I was visualizing that episode, and I thought, how good would it be to actually listen? Because when in your episodes, when you put little snippets from the episode, I thought, how good would it be to listen to the entire episode as well in the podcast, as well as talk about it? So that's what I've done as well. So in my episodes that I do, so I talk a little bit about, you know, the creators, who's in it, the voice actors, what they've done in the past. And then I have a bit of discussion about the episode afterwards. Like I said, it's very hard to discuss an episode with yourself. But once that's over, and then we, to have a bit of a preview of the episode coming up. And yeah, so like I said, hopefully down the track I can start getting, I can have interviews with people and getting more of a discussion with one-on-one rather than doing it by myself. But hopefully that'll happen later on down the track.
Yeah, so Superman the Animated Series, is it your favorite version of animated Superman?
I'd have to say yes. Just the fact, like you said, I think we spoke about it before we started the podcast. I didn't read a lot of comics growing up, so I knew basically the movies and Lois and Clark, the TV series, and a little bit of Superboy, even though as a kid, can't remember every episode. But everything I know about Superman pretty much is from Superman the Animated Series. Like all the villains that he's come across, and most of the storylines. And it's grown from there into obviously the DC Animated Universe as well, into the movies as well. So, and Justice League, obviously. I was a big fan of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
Well, DC the Animated Universe is, to me, like the ultimate DC Universe, you know. To use a Marvel example, right? Marvel has the 616. It's like traditional comic books, and then it has the Ultimate Universe, right? And to me, I see like there's been so many reboots and restarts and crises over the years in DC Comics that the any comic book mythology is a mess, right? But the DCAU, starting with Batman the Animated Series in 1992, to go all the way up to 2005 or 2006. I'm not sure when the last season of Justice League Unlimited was, but that is like the definitive DC universe. Now, there are some things I like in other versions. I mean, obviously I love Smallville. It's my favorite show, right?
Yep.
Superman the movie is like the greatest Superman movie of all time. All that to be said, I love the Tim Burton movies, especially Batman 89 for Batman. But if you had to like this, if I just had to show someone this is DC Comics, I would show them DCAU. And I know it's heavily Batman because most of the series are Batman. It starts with Batman. It ends with Batman, chronology with Batman Beyond. But Superman plays an integral role in that. And you're right. I think there's so many great definitive things that come out of it. As well as, you know, one of the most genius things from Superman the Animated Series, we're going to branch off and start talking about that now in the conversation, is Brainiac being from Krypton. Like that is a, I think Alan Burnett invented that aspect of it. And that is like a brilliant way to kind of fold in the mythology of Brainiac, because you look at all the different versions. Oh, he's an android from Kolu, and he's a skull ship, and he's a this, and he's a that. It's like, no, he was the artificial intelligence of Krypton. He knew it was going to explode, but he let it explode for him to escape and collect knowledge. And then that immediately makes it more personal between him and Superman, and just makes a lot of sense to me. And I know people seem to really love that. I mean, Smallville did it, right? Brainiac is Brainiac is from Krypton in Smallville, right? So it's continuing on, and I really hope to see that. I really hope that if we ever get Brainiac in live action film, which for some reason they just refuse to give us, although he's great on Krypton, the TV show,
Krypton,
by the way. But I do hope if it's ever in a movie, they take inspiration from the animated series and kind of fold that in, Brainiac being from Krypton. But everyone seems to love that, but everyone also seems to hate the fact that the Joker killed the Waynes in Batman 89. And I'm like, is that not the same thing, Nathan? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I love the way that they brought Brainiac into the animated series and the fact that it was a reoccurring character as well. So after the first, after the pilot, good thing was I didn't call it pilot. That's the best thing I liked about the animated series. But he just kept coming out. Every time he thought he was dead or destroyed, he'd come back in another facet of such. Batman 89, as a kid growing up, I didn't know too much about... I knew who Batman was, obviously, but that was definitely my favorite version of Batman. And probably still is. Like, I know Christian Bale did an absolute great job in his trilogy. And Ben Affleck, I think he actually did a reasonable job. I think a lot of people weren't too much of a fan of when he came and he was going to be the new Batman, but I think he did a reasonable job.
You see, I don't understand that either. I'm like, he's perfect for Batman. Like, people were so upset. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this guy's perfect for Batman. People were, like, fan casting him for Batman way back in, like, the Armageddon days even. And he played Daredevil, which is like, Marvel's sort of Batman. He took that part because he always wanted to play Batman, but he thought Batman was dead after Batman and Robin. And he's a visionary director, and the whole idea was, oh, great, we're going to get Ben Affleck to star and direct a Batman solo film. This is going to be the most amazing thing ever. And I am so crushed that he's gone now from the DCEU, because inside Batman versus Superman, there's an amazing Batman film trapped in there. And it's like this, it's a sequel to Man of Steel, but it's kind of a Batman movie. And then there's also, the Justice League set up, and it's just a mess. And, but all that to say, Michael Keaton will always be my favorite Batman. Ben Affleck, I think, is the best Batman just across the board. Like, and I know he kills people in the movie. I understand that's a whole nother conversation, right? But Michael Keaton did too, right? But page to screen Batman. I mean, how do you get better than Ben Affleck? Christian Bale was good, all right? But, and those, the Batman Begins and The Dark Knight are amazing films. Dark Knight Rises is another conversation, in my opinion. But yeah. Christian Bale, he was playing the more realistic Batman, and that was Chris Nolan's take, and that's cool. And obviously, you got Heath Ledger's Joker in there. I love Liam Neeson's Rachel Ghoul. Aaron Eckhart's Harvey Dent is great. Once you get to Two-Face, it's kind of rushed, but, you know, you can talk about the Nolan movies all day long. But my point being that, like, yeah, I think all three of them are, like, great Batman in their own ways. And people, like, these days you have to, like, tear one thing down to build up another in fandom, apparently. Like, it's like, Michael Keaton's the worst! Christian Bale is the one true Batman! I'm like, can we just have multiple versions? Look at the comic books, right? Look at how many versions of Batman there are in the comic books. And then Adam West is on a level all his own, in my opinion. Like, he's just equally up there. And frankly, Val Kilmer did a pretty good job, too, in Batman Forever for what he was asked to do. So anyway, I know we got on that tangent there. You were talking about we were talking about Batman and Batman 89 and the Waynes. I guess to bring it back around to why that even came. Again, tangents. You never know where the conversation will go.
True.
So yeah, so I kind of equate. I don't know why people are upset by the Waynes being killed by the Joker or Jack Napier, the pre-Joker, right? Yep. Yet everybody loves Brainiac being from Krypton. I don't know. Like, it, to me, it's a very similar thing. And I think they even said that. Like, I think I've maybe in the commentary and on that episode, Alan Burnett's like, yeah, nobody liked that, but we did this anyway. And so it's just, I don't know. It works for Superman. I think it works in both cases in the context of both things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think it all comes down to the story. As long as the story from that initial scene, so to speak, is throughout the entirety of the series, I think that's when it works perfectly. Going back to the animated series, the thing I love the most about it was the fact that, as you said, Batman the animated series started it all off. And the fact that they brought Batman and some of the villains from that into Superman the animated series, which I'm hoping the love of people had for Batman really started to enjoy Superman the animated series. And that continued on with Batman Beyond and Justice League as well. And I think that was fantastic how they brought, you know, series from late 90s into the 2000s, and it basically started as a whole in that entirety.
Yeah, you talk about a shared universe, right? As everybody's after these days, a shared universe. I mean, they were doing it. I mean, it was, and I think the best way to do it is it just happens organically. They didn't plan out, all right, here we're going to do. We're going to do Batman, and we're going to do Superman, and we're going to do Justice League, and we're going to have a future Batman show, and it's all going to, we're going to have all these movies. It's like, no. You made Batman the animated series. People loved it. So you made a movie out of it, and then you made more Batman in the animated series, and then you crossed them over Superman. And, like, that's organic. That's what should be done. And that's why the DCEU doesn't work, because it's like, oh, let's do Superman. Oh, it didn't make $1 billion? We'll put Batman in there and put in Wonder Woman and Doomsday. Put in everything. It's do Justice League next. It's like, no, that's not how it's done. And so everything kind of organically grew out of Batman the animated series. And although I will say I prefer the Fox Batman animated series than as opposed to the new Batman Adventures look. Which is the Superman animated series look. Now, I like Superman the animated series. I like the look. I just don't like what they turned Batman into to cross over with him. I just so much like that original animation. Now, I like the new Batman, like the black, the giant black bat, and then the black aesthetic and all that. I mean, who doesn't, right? Yeah. And then some of the villains are better in Batman. Like, the Penguin is better. Scarecrow is better in the new animation style. But other than the... Oh, Batgirl is cool, too. And Tim Drake is a different Robin, so it works. But other than that, like, all the animation, like, designs are better in the animated series era, as opposed to the new Batman Adventures era. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's hard going from a darker series, you could say Batman the animated series was, compared to Superman, where it's more of a dark versus the lights. I think it's hard to try and bring that aspect into that series, and I think they did a reasonable job, like you said. But I think, yeah, whatever style they decided to go forward, I think they kept that that look in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited 2 with Batman as well. And
I think they found the perfect balance in Justice League. Like the Joker, for example, right? Is like, he has no eyes and no lips. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't understand. Like World's Finest is a great crossover. Like, that's what Batman versus Superman, the movie, should have been. It should have been that, the World's Finest three-parter from Superman and Batman, the animated series. But the Joker's animation in that is like, why does he look this way? And then in Batman Beyond, Return of the Joker, and then in Justice League, they kind of made a nice middle ground between the original animated series Joker and the new Batman Adventures Joker. So anyway, all that to say, you know, we're here to talk about Superman, right? That's what you're talking about. So like, we mentioned Brainiac, so I'll just wrap that up real quick. Corey Burton, who did the voice of Brainiac, so cool. I think he's a big reason why that character works so well on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, and I know we're going back a little bit. I just like the fact how they continued the voice actors from Batman as well onto the Superman series.
Oh, yeah.
Got the same voice actors. And I think that worked perfectly. But yeah, you're right. Brainiac, I think, was almost the catalyst of the whole series going forward. That it was almost like if they didn't have a plan of how they're going to do this episode, oh, we'll bring Brainiac back. Like there was a couple of weird episodes when I think it was in Justice League, actually, when him and Lex Luthor got probably too close.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. That was a payoff. That was a long time coming. Like, obviously, they didn't plan this out, but they saw a seed for something in the animated series, Superman the animated series. We're talking like 1998 or 99, maybe.
Yeah.
Where something happened, like Lex and Brainiac, you know, Brainiac shoots Lex and... He's like, did you think that was meant to kill you? No, it was my cybernetic drones, and I was implanted inside you. And then, like, in 2004, you know, you have Lexiac combination there, and it's really kind of disturbing, but that's the point. And all that stuff pays off. And hey, Lex Luthor in the animated series, right? I always say Michael Rosenbaum is the best Lex Luthor, and he is. And he always will be. But John Cryer is giving him a good run for his money on Supergirl, I'll tell you that. But as far as, like, the iconic Lex Luthor from the comics, the only one that has really embodied that is Clancy Brown's Lex Luthor from the animated show.
Yep. Yeah, totally agree. You just hear that voice. I think back to not only the Superman the animated series, every time I hear him speak, but the Shawshank Redemption.
Highlander.
Highlander, yep. It's just they're definitely young in that movie. What's that? Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
Especially that scene when put your hand on that wall. That to me, that just sounds like Lex Luthor, and I just have a big smile on my face when I see that. And his character, the way he portrayed Lex Luthor, is amazing. It is disappointing when you see some of the animated movies that they have portrayed, and you don't hear Lex Luthor's a voice. Like James Masters, I think it was, he played Brainiac in Smallville, was the voice of. Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor in Doomsday in the first movie that they produced. And you just didn't hear Clancy Brown. You just didn't think this was going to work. But obviously it's a different take. But yeah, you hear Clancy Brown and straight away, to me, you're exactly right. Michael Rosenbaum is the on-screen live action, is the best Lex Luthor there ever will be. And I still think Warner Brothers should take him to go in the movies. He keeps asking for it. He keeps pushing to go back on but they keep turning him down. But no, Clancy Brown's definitely the comic version of Lex Luthor. Every time you see a picture of Lex Luthor in the comics, I picture Lex Luthor's voice for sure. It's Clancy Brown's voice for sure.
Mm-hmm. And just the evolution of his character throughout the animated show and then into, again, continuity into Justice League, right? We got to see him as the businessman. We got to see him as the rogue scientist in early Justice League. Then we get to see President Lex, or at least the election cycle of President Lex. I'm like, thank you, because that's something that Smallville shows us too. Smallville shows us those same cycles. I mean, in the animated show, they really delve into it more because we're in like Superman era proper, right? But I don't understand why none of these live action movies can show us more than like, I'm goofy, somewhat comical Lex Luthor, right? I mean, Gene Hackman is, I give it kind of a pass because it's the 70s and it was pre-crisis and they had nothing to work with. As far as like businessman Lex Luthor, right? Although he does have Lex Luthor Incorporated, which is kind of a joke in the movie, but it's kind of ironic that came to be such a big thing. Gene Hackman, he's a brilliant actor, so it works. His apathy is the true evil. He doesn't care how many people die for him to do this land scheme, and it's a great plan. It's like the best, most logical, cold, hard facts business plan in any superhero movie, his plan to drop California into the ocean to make a profit. I'm like, oh, well, if I was evil and had more morals and a nuclear missile, that makes a lot of sense, right? But then you get to Kevin Spacey, right? And it's like, you had a great opportunity here for Superman Returns to say 5 years have passed. Superman's been gone. Maybe Lex Luthor started a business, and now he's like the savior of Metropolis, and everybody loves him, right? And Superman comes back to Earth, and his greatest enemy is now like a man of the people, everybody loves, and it's like, oh crap, how do I deal with that? But instead, they just made him a goofy guy who got out of prison by showing an elderly woman, you know, pleasures, as the movie says, to talk right? About that. and then he just says, oh, kryptonite, and all this silliness, and like he has some edge to him. But that's really, he's like a more edgier Gene Hackman version. It's like, okay. Again, potential there. I mean, Kevin Spacey was more Lex Luthor on House of Cards than he was in Superman Returns. So that's what we wanted to see. And then you get Jesse Eisenberg, who was just the most miscast person in the world. You know, I mean, he came in to audition for Jimmy Olsen for Batman v Superman, and Zack Snyder was like, oh, wait, what if you Lex Luthor? And it's like, man, I give Zack Snyder so much credit in the world for casting Ben Affleck, Gal Gadot, Henry Cavill, right? But it's kind of a wash when you think about who he cast as freaking Lex Luthor. Like, I'll say this: I think it's a valid interpretation, right? He is a neurotic, jealous, angry atheist businessman, right? So I'm like, okay, at least there's that, because that's more like the comic Lex than these other live action ones we've seen in the movies. But it's not the one we needed or wanted. We needed a Billy Zane type. I mean, I know I keep beating that drum about Billy Zane, but the man is Lex Luthor off the page. Give us a serious, older, mature, sophisticated, you know, I got it together for the public, but I'm like doing all this crazy stuff in private Lex Luthor. Well, this guy can't even give a speech at an event that he's holding, because he's like, you know, that. So anyway, not to go on that, right? I keep saying not to get all these tangents, but here I go. But you know what I'm saying about Jesse Eisenberg? I mean,
well, it was funny, actually. The only good thing I liked about Batman vs. Superman was the fact that, going back to what we talked about in Superman Returns, was the fact that they brought LexCorp into the franchise, so to speak.
Finally.
And I thought, awesome. You know, we're going back to the animated series. You know, LexCorp was obviously there in Lois and Clark as well, and you know, Luthor Corp / LexCorp in Smallville as well. So I thought, excellent, we're going down this path now. And like you said, they totally missed the boat, so to speak, when they cast Jesse Eisenberg. You know, like I think he was great in other movies that he's done, but I think in this role, I don't think it was meant for him. And I'm happy to jump on your bandwagon for Billy Zane. I think he'd be perfect for the role as Lex Luthor. Yeah.
Billy Zane, actually younger than John Cryer, by the way. I know people are like, he's too old to play Lex Luthor. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyway, they've missed so many. They could have cast him in Superman Returns. They could have cast him on Supergirl. They could have cast him in the Man of Steel universe in DCU. So maybe when they reboot Superman yet again on screen, which is inevitable now, because I think we all just need to face that Ben Affleck is gone. Pretty sure Henry Cavill's gone too, guys. I think it's just time to accept that. That's why we had a stunt double in Shazam. Not actually Henry Cavill, but... But yeah, so you know what, we talked about Brainiac, we talked some about Lex Luthor. We can kind of talk about some villains some, and then kind of wrap back around to the key Superman cast and Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
Do you have any other favorite villains that really stuck out to you from Superman the Animated Series?
Well, like I said, because I didn't read many comic books, the only villain I knew of was Zod from the you know, Superman the movie, and other than that, didn't really know, like, other than Nuclear Man, which we know now never existed in the comic books. I love the introduction of Parasite. Like, I never knew who Parasite was until I watched the series, and I thought he was a decent villain. It was almost, it was like most villains, they're the hero of their own story, as you know, Michael Rosenbaum says perfectly in Smallville. And a lot of the other good villains that come out in this is just, I can't really name them all off the top of my head, right? Because I'm just thinking about how many they brought in, just one after the other. And once they, you know, couldn't come up with a storyline, that's when they went back to Brainiac or Lex Luthor. And they just kept moving forward from there. Lobo is actually one of my favorite characters. I just finished doing a couple episodes on him in season one. And obviously he's on Krypton now, which I think is awesome, seeing him on live screen. And it'd be so awesome to see him in a movie. I don't know how they do it. I know there was talk about actually making it their own Lobo movie. Whether or not they do that, I'm not sure. But it's just good to see, like I
said.
Well,
the problem, Nathan, is that they already cast the wrong guy, or they already cast the guy playing Lobo as Aquaman. Like, Jason Momoa is Lobo. Yeah, he's playing Aquaman. No, I love the Aquaman movie. I really do. But that guy was born to play Lobo.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Now that I'm looking at his, thinking of his face, because funnily enough, I just watched Aquaman last night. I can now picture Lobo as Jason Momoa, and you're dead right. I think that would work.
Like the scene of him in the bar with the guys. I think he's great as Aquaman. I love the Aquaman movie, but there you have it. But I like how you brought up Parasite. Parasite is one of the villains that comes to mind for me from the animated series. Kind of more, I guess, sympathetic, because he didn't ask for what happened to him, but he does become like a terrible villain. Yep. But that's like, again, most of these villains, these sci-fi horror villains, are this way. The animated series, they did invent Livewire, much in the same way that Batman the animated series invented Harley Quinn. Superman the animated series introduced Livewire, and now she's in the comic books proper, and then has shown up on Supergirl in live action as well. And then, you know, obviously you can't talk about the animated series without talking about Darkseid, who they really kind of played the long game with. You know, they planted seeds for him with Inner Gang and Apocalypse early, and then he kind of really starts to play off at the end of the show, and then comes back for Justice League, and then voiced by Michael Ironside, right? General Sam Lane from Smallville.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly right. Darkseid, and I don't like talking about the season finale of Smallville, and I wanted his voice as Darkseid for that last, for season 10, the finale, and I think everyone wanted to hear him come back and do the voice. As soon as I hear that voice, it's the first thing I think about is Darkseid, or if I watch Top Gun. Darkseid was the best villain. He was the Thanos, I suppose, of our universe. And I think they needed to bring him onto into the movie side of things at probably later on down the track. And I think they tried to do that too soon. And that's a problem with the DCU. They tried to keep up with Marvel. We all know that was going to be a hard thing to do. But yeah, Darkseid in the series itself, especially in the last couple of episodes in season 3 of Superman the Animated Series, turned over Superman, and that was, and the last episode of Superman the Animated Series, it was very, as a kid growing up watching it, it was very heartfelling, the fact that he then had to get the trust back of the people of what he had done. And that was very, a very hard thing to see. And looking back now, I think it was a good, good thing to show the fact that you can do something wrong, but still show and prove that you are that person. And anyone can make a mistake and then, move on, as long as you can learn from those mistakes and fix those mistakes. So I think it was a good teaching point, even in an animated TV show. But yeah, Darkseid was amazing during that series. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, and then, it was a two-parter, right? The series finale? For an episodic thing, like an animated show, for it to kind of pay off some threads from earlier episodes, villains, have a two-parter ending. I mean, I don't know if they thought it was going to be the finale at the time, but it serves as the series finale. You know, Batman, the animated series, it's extremely episodic, right? The Joker pops in and out all the time. There's not really if you try to make some kind of chronology about, like, what happened when, it is kind of confusing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing about the show. I'm just saying, like, it's an early 90s episodic cartoon, right? But then by the time we get the Superman, they'll get a little more sophisticated, and like we're going to tease Darkseid in this episode here. Like, I think he first appears in some episode with Inner Gang and Bruno Mannheim, and then they bring in a Metropolis. Like, oh my God, it's Darkseid, right? And to its credit, Batman the Animated Series did something similar with Ra's al Ghul. We teased him at the end of an episode that had nothing to do with him, just his daughter was in it. So shades of that. Yeah. But the thing that really struck me about Darkseid in the animated show, what was in that last episode, because Superman and him are fighting on Apocalypse, right? And Superman beats the crap out of him. And then he, like, holds him up between all the people of like, Apocalypse. Like, here, you're free! And then they all go, like, oh, Darkseid, you okay? Oh, Lord Darkseid. And Superman's like, what? And he's like, I am many things, Kal-El, but here I am God. You're like, whoa, like that's so interesting, because you think these people would be like, oh, we've been liberated from this evil overlord. But there's just a weird thing going on in that dimension, in that new God's fourth world dimension that Superman just can't even wrap his mind around, and we can't. But it's a very interesting way for that to go, because you think of it in like Superman liberating this planet, it's like peace throughout the galaxy. Yeah. But instead he has his people come attend to him and like make sure he's okay. So that was always a very interesting thing to do in that moment, I thought.
No, you're definitely right. It was definitely not the ending I think we're all expecting. It reminds me a little bit of the storyline of Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman movie. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that she thinks she's destroyed the villain, but yet all the workers still are just going about their business as per normal, and they're not just going off what his, you know, beliefs are. That they're just doing it because obviously that they're instructed to, and they're soldiers. They're doing what they're told. But Wonder Woman's theory was if she kills, you know, this one main character, then they'll all just be fine. They think they're under a spell, and that's the same in this last episode of Superman the Animated Series. Is, you know, Superman believes that if he destroys Darkseid, then all of his workers, you know, we're free. But you're exactly right. They definitely, I don't know whether it was due to fear, but they just seemed like they still loved Darkseid. So
they're really drinking the Darkseid Kool-Aid over there, as they say. well, okay, you mentioned Wonder Woman, and I might have mentioned this in brief, maybe in the podcast a couple of times, but now I love Wonder Woman. I think it's a really good movie, right? I think it would have been an excellent A-plus movie had they done exactly what we just said. And then Wonder Woman kills Stryker from X-Men Origins Wolverine, thinking that he's thinking that he's Ares, right? Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I killed that guy, but bad things are still happening. I don't understand. And then like Steve Trevor's like, I can't explain it. It's just how people are. I don't know. But you know, all we can do is what we can. And I was like, that is like a brilliant message, because it would have been really paid off everything they're setting up in that whole movie, like. Everything she knows and thinks is true is being questioned by her, like, existing in the world of man, as they, you know, call it, I think, in the movie, in our world, right? Yeah. And that's, like, the ultimate, like, undercutting everything you thought you knew about life. And I'm like, wow, that was bold. Well done, movie. But no, then they devolve into, we gotta have the third act giant CGI battle with the monster! And it's like, oh, they could have done something really special, I thought. And they didn't, and I don't know if, like, the studio made them do that, or they thought... I just think, like, if you're looking at that movie logically, that's the perfect way to, like, you know... I don't know what you do for the final battle, I guess, at that point, or maybe you just don't have a final battle, but her complete worldview being crushed and destroyed, to me, like, oh, well, that's why she went away for 100 years after this. Plus, Steve Trevor died, right? and I just thought it was so generic and so kind of lame that they had this great setup for what could have been like, I know what you guys are expecting here, but this is what Wonder Woman was expecting too, and you're both wrong, right? This is life. And I'm like, wow, yeah. That would have tracked with the rest of the movie up to that point, a World War One movie with Wonder Woman in it, as opposed to like this crazy DC Comics movie, which it turned into at the end. And it's so like, and it gave me bad flashbacks of BVS, because it's like, here's a big, gray, dark CGI villain who we don't really care about, and he's defeated, and then it's fine. You know what I'm saying with that?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think whoever designed the, you know, the end scene of Wonder Woman did Justice League as well. I think Steppenwolf and the end character for Wonder Woman, very
similarities
in that case. the ending of that, they could have done so much better than Wonder. I'm like you. I think the movie itself was fantastic, especially when she goes over No Man's Land. That was like a very iconic scene, and I thought that was fantastic. But yeah, just the ending of that, I just think at the moment, and it's the same with Aquaman. I loved Aquaman, don't get me wrong, but the big fight scene, underwater fight scene towards the end, I just think they could have found a different way to do it. It's almost like all their movies, they have to finish off with this big massive fight scene. It's either, you know, enemies against enemies, or it's, you know, the single characters up against themselves. So I wish there's a different way they could end those movies, but I don't know what they're looking towards.
Well,
in the future.
I think with Aquaman, it worked for me because it's something we had never seen before. Like, we have, like, an army of sharks versus crabs versus, you know, sea monsters. I'm like, this is something, you know, this is really, you know, we've seen it all these days in movies. Like, I've seen it. But that's why, like, when Star Wars came out, and I'm not saying Aquaman is like Star Wars, right? But I'm saying when Star Wars came out in 1977, it blew people's minds because no one had seen anything like this. And, yeah, you know, this isn't Terminator 2 Jurassic Park style of stuff blowing your minds with Aquaman. But it's like, you know what? This is something I can tell. I've never seen this in a movie before. Right, I mean, this is something new. Yep. So good on you, DC. And then to me, it ultimately came down to the personal conflict between Orm and Arthur, and it was the two of them fighting on the submarine there. And because you had set up Orm so well, I'm a big Patrick Wilson fan as an actor. I've liked his work for several years, and I think he was great as Ocean Master. And I think they had set up enough of that relationship in the movie. He's like, I don't want to kill you, Arthur, but I will. I want you to leave, you know, so that kind of stuff. And you understand why Orm would feel the way he did about the surface. And I think there was more going on than your generic, your Batman versus Superman, your Wonder Woman, your Justice League. So I think DC, we'll see what happens moving forward, but I felt they were getting better with each movie. Justice League being the exception to that rule, but like Wonder Woman was my favorite. Aquaman was my favorite. And then Shazam was my favorite. Like, I loved Shazam. Shazam was, again, something we had never seen before with the superhero team, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is great. I didn't expect this. They did a real smart job keeping that a secret in all the marketing. And when it happened, it's like, oh, but of course, because you know the Shazam family from the... Anyway, that's how I kind of see the DC extended universe. And it's tough because... they're going to do Joker, which is like completely unconnected from everything, as I understand. Then they're going to do Wonder Woman 2, which is a sequel to Wonder Woman, but kind of standalone. They're saying it's like Indiana Jones. It's its own adventure. I'm like, all right, I'm going to trust you, but you're resurrecting Steve Trevor, and that's undermining everything the first movie did, so don't screw it up, right? Yeah. And then they're making Birds of Prey, which I know a lot of people are excited for, but I'm like, okay, like to me that seems like a sequel to Suicide Squad, which I did not like at all. Suicide Squad is by far at the bottom of my list of these movies. And then we're getting, I don't know, the Trench. so it's like, and now people are leaving. Affleck is gone, Cavill's gone. That screws up the con. Are we gonna have? Robert Pattinson's Batman crossover with Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman? No, is that its own thing? I hate recasting. I hate messing up continuity. Like right now, we're still in a place where everything still fits together. But the further we get away from this, and VBS, not the biggest fan or of that or Justice League. I gave them around B's or B minuses in my reviews when we talked about it on the podcast. But like, I enjoy a lot of those movies, but I see they're deeply flawed and they've kind of screwed up the entire DC approach in the movies. So I wish they were better, but like the X-Men franchise, I also think you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater and you keep the elements and you keep going and you keep trying with stuff. You keep Ben Affleck's Batman, you keep Henry Cavill's Superman. I understand that like they kind of left of their own accord and I don't know if there's just so much baggage with them now at this point with all these divisive movies that they've been in. But if you're getting rid of them, Wonder Woman and Aquaman are connected to them. So do they stay? And you get what I'm saying here? Like it's becoming a big mess, and I'm worried about it because I thought they were making progress to getting where we needed to be.
Yeah, I totally agree, Zach. Like I said, the last couple of nights, I've actually watched Shazam and Aquaman, and you're definitely right. I love the way they tell both those stories. Especially Shazam is definitely a different take on the superhero movie that we've seen in the past. And obviously I've read different things that now they're looking going down two separate streams. There's going to be two paths. Joaquin Phoenix is the Joker. I'm still not 100% sure about what that movie is going to be like, but I'm a DC fan, so I'll go and watch it like any other fan, but I'll take my own take on that after I see it.
Well, are you a fan of him as an actor, Joaquin Phoenix?
I got to admit, Gladiator was probably the only movie I've seen him in that I actually enjoyed his take on that. Any other movie since, I haven't actually seen that many movies with him in, but he's a good. I think he's a good actor in that role that he wants to play. So I think he'll do a good job as the Joker. The trailers look good, but
I think he's a great actor, and that's what kind of like. All right, I'm interested to see what he's doing. I think they're taking, and I'm very excited for Joker. I think it looks fantastic. Just I don't know what it's gonna be. It seems to be like if you look at this like an Elseworlds, right? It's like, okay, this is a one-off Elseworlds about the Joker, like, and I don't know what else to say about it because that's the problem. Like, the Batman is supposed to create the Joker. They have this, like, symbiotic relationship of who you made me, I made you first, right? Not maybe like Batman 89, but the fact that he's existing in a world without Batman is kind of concerning. Also, it's like, hey, you guys like the Heath Ledger Joker, right? Well, this is kind of the same thing, so come see it. You know, that's kind of a concern, I think. It's clearly heavily influenced by the Heath Ledger Joker. Joaquin Phoenix, he's great in movies like Signs, Her, lots of other movies he's been in. He's actually one of my favorite actors. He's just a fascinating guy. And I'm interested to see his take on the Joker. But if this does well, maybe this could open up lots of other standalone movies for DC stuff. Like, let's see a Red Sun movie. You know, I know everybody wants to see evil Superman. God forbid people see, like, good Superman. Like, I'm just Superman doing my thing. Nobody wants to see that, apparently. Everybody loves it. And I love Red Sun as a story. But, again, it's like alternate Superman who's not doing Superman things, but that's what people seem to gravitate towards. Something like that. And it's something, and we can segue back into our animated conversation now. A Batman Beyond movie. A Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton, for God's sake. Do it. Just do it.
Yep.
It's a sequel. It can be the third Tim Burton movie. You get Tim Burton to direct it because Michael Keaton will come back for him. You make it like Blade Runner-esque. You cast some young guy as Terry McGinnis. And then I would love to see a trilogy. I would love to see a trilogy of Batman Beyond movies. Like you do Blight in the first movie, the green skeleton guy, Derek Powers from the animated show. The second movie can be like, you know, Spellbinder and Shriek, and then, you know, these other villains, right? And then the third one, you can do the Joker coming back. But if it's a sequel to the Michael Keaton movies, you really can't do that. I'm just saying, I would love to see Batman Beyond because it's something, what are we talking about? Something different, right? Wonder Woman, these were all different. Wonder Woman, Shazam, Aquaman, they showed us stuff we hadn't really seen before, and that's why we like it. Everybody loves Batman, but I think we're all kind of, I'm sick of recap. Here we go again. Robert Pattinson, right? That's its own conversation with Twilight. That's so much baggage. To me, that's Jesse Eisenberg all over again. And you don't need that. Like DC, why don't you just cast, like Christian Bale, right? They cast Christian Bale as Batman. Everyone was like, perfect. That's who we wanted. He's a great actor. He looks the part. American Psycho, he can do Bruce Wayne. Equilibrium, he can do Batman. Everyone was on board with that. I don't see why DC has to keep trying to be they're so smart. You know, they're trying to like, we cast someone you never expected. You know, sometimes it's actually good to go with the logical choice. Like Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. Perfect. Right? It's like, I don't understand why you have to like, you see what I'm saying here? Like the whole like, we're so clever, we're going to cast the guy from Twilight as Batman and you're going to hate it now, but you're going to love it later. Yes. I understand people didn't want Michael Keaton as Batman. I understand people didn't want Heath Ledger as a Joker. That's fine. But just because those worked doesn't mean you have to keep doing it. Because you know what? Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor didn't work. Right? And that's what you're doing again with Robin Pattinson as Batman. And my point is there. I know I'm going on. I know this is supposed to be your show, Nathan. I'm sorry. I'm talking too much. But
that's all good, mate.
But my point is, I don't want to see Batman anymore. I don't want to see Bruce Wayne's Batman anymore. If it's not, I'm just, you've beaten me out of that. I loved Ben Affleck's Batman, and now you've taken him away, and he's left. And now I'm like, I don't want any, I'm having to readjust for new Batman all the time, and I'm sick of it. Show us something we haven't seen. Show us Batman Beyond. Show us Michael Keaton as old man Bruce Wayne, because like Kevin Conroy as old man Bruce Wayne, you connect to a previous Batman, right? Like you were talking about the continuity of the voice cast in the animated series of all these things, right? You have to do that. Like, if you cast some random old guy, unless it's Clint Eastwood, okay? That's the one exception. If you just cast some other random old guy as Batman, I'm not going to care because I never saw that guy's Batman. But we saw Kevin Conroy's Batman for several years, and that's why we cared about Batman Beyond. And then we accepted this new universe because he legitimized it. Kind of like Leonard Nimoy as Spock legitimized the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, right? That is what you need. So I'm done talking for a while. Take it away, Nathan.
No, I'm happy to go on to your tangents, mate. I love listening to what you're talking about with regards to, you just have a passion for the industry, and I just love your take on everything. I think it's amazing. I agree with you. I remember reading, I think it was Kevin Smith, I think it was his about the fact that he reckons a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton would make $1 billion. And I totally agree.
No question. We're at a nostalgia hype right now for the 80s and 90s. And that's your 80s and 90s Batman.
Yep. Exactly. One episode of the animated series that brings me back, and it was comedic in a way. I don't know if you remember it. It was the episode where no one knew where Batman was. So Robin went to Metropolis and found Superman, and then Superman came back to Gotham and dressed up as Batman. And I thought that was the funniest episode as a kid. Just watching that episode, I thought it was hilarious. Just his mannerisms around Commissioner Gordon as well. They could just tell, he was just very stiff in the carrying the role. I know it's animation and, you know, obviously they can do whatever they want in animation, but I don't think he'd ever be able to do that in the big screen. But going back to the Red Sun, I've actually got the comic book behind me. Like I said, I don't read too many comic books, but that was recommended to me and I loved it. I don't know what you'd think about this, but we all agree that Tom Welling plays an awesome bad guy. How good would it be seeing Tom Welling play Superman as the Red Sun on a movie?
It will never happen in a million years, but I think it would be great. I really think it'd be great because if there was, he's too old for it now, but if they were going to do a Crisis on Infinite Earths now on the CW, right? But if they were going to do a Crisis on Infinite Earths, like in the 2000s, he would have been Superboy Prime. He would have been perfect. I guess that'd be Infinite Crisis, spoilers, where Superboy Prime is the bad guy. But yeah, no, that's a great call, right? I mean, let's get the Smallville cast and do Red Sun. I'm totally cool with that. Make that a DC Universe app exclusive. And make that happen, DC Comics. So.
We've got to make him wear the suit. That's just the problem.
That's true. It's like, hey, Tom, it's like a Russian suit. It's different. Is that okay? Anyway, but I do remember that episode of the animated series you're talking about, by the way. I love the part where they're interrogating someone, and Robin's like, kick the desk! And then he kicks Superman as Batman, kicks the desk, and it flies out the window. So that is great. And that shows you this interconnectedness, because they had an episode where Superman had to impersonate Batman. But it's this Batman universe that we all know. That's why we care.
Yeah. And pushing on to the Justice League side of things, there's an episode that brings to mind Vandal Savage. I think he's a character that would be awesome to see I can't remember. Is Vandal Savage in Smallville? I can't remember if he's...
Okay, so that... this is a complicated question and answer, right? Because... Dean Cain. There's an episode in Season 7 called Cure. Dean Cain was supposed to play Vandal Savage. Then the movie department came down and said, oh, we might have plans for him. You have to change his name. So they're like, So because they called him... Because Jimmy Olsen always called Clark C.K., on Lois and Clark, they're like, okay, C.K. Curtis Knox is his name, and they say, well, he's immortal and he's lived through the centuries, so you can kind of infer that he's Vandal Savage. Also, in Legends of Tomorrow, Vandal Savage was the main villain in the first season. There is an Easter egg to that. They go to like to the 50s, and you see a picture of Vandal Savage, and his identity at that time is Dr. Curtis Knox. So a nod to the fact that Dean Cain was supposed to be him on Smallville. So. Yeah, see, Vandal Savage and the two-parter in Justice League, like the Savage Time, really cool. Yeah. The two-parter where Superman is in the far future and Vandal Savage is there hereafter, really cool. Although, to me, he's always been kind of a poor man's Ra's al Ghul. So,
true.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The fact that, you know, if any one man can live for that long... I think it'd be loneliness, to be honest. Like, and see what he's done. Have you seen You would have seen Justice League Doom.
Yes. He's voiced by. Isn't he voiced by Phil Morris in that The Martian Manhunter? I think he is.
I think so. I think he was portrayed really well in that movie. I love that.
That's a Ra's al Ghul movie. They switched him out. Like, in the Tower of Babel, Ra's al Ghul is the one that infiltrates the Batcave. And they're like, oh, let's just use Vandal Savage instead because Ra's al Ghul's in the movies.
Okay. Well, that obviously worked. But just thinking of that episode was just the fact that, you know, Superman was pushed off. I think it was Toyman that actually did it in the episode, if I remember correctly.
Oh, to the future. Yeah, hereafter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, Superman without his powers and, you know, growing a beard, you know, like finding that old car and, you know, just driving off into the sunset, so to speak. And then, you know, just goes to show that if you're in any one space where, you know, the villain meets the hero and there's no point in fighting, let's just work together and let's do what we need to do. So I like the storyline as such. And I think it was at the end when he comes back. I think there was an episode, I can't remember if it was the animated series or Justice League, where I think Batman came back and then Superman gave him a big hug. I think it's very similar in this episode when Superman came back and they all pretty much got around him. So yeah, it's definitely a good family show, I suppose.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about the villains and episodes and stuff and other tangents I've gone on during this. But, you know, let's take a step back then and talk. We've talked about the animated series and then transitioning to Justice League. Obviously, there's two different guys who voice Superman. You have Tim Daly in the animated series and then some of the animated movies.
Yeah,
and then George Newbern takes over in Justice League and then some of the animated movies. I like how, you know, because we have all these this ongoing series of DC animated movies. I like how they continue to use both of them. Like, they don't say, okay, we got Tim again, so thank you for your time, George. But, like, you know, Tim Daly, he was on the TV show, remake of The Fugitive of the time they were making Justice League, and that's why they switched out for George Newbern. And they sound a lot alike, and I don't really have a favorite. Like, I guess I would default to Tim Daly because he was first. Do you have a favorite between the two of them?
I'm like you. I like both of them. I remember Tim Daly from the TV show Wings. And George Newbern, I'm pretty sure he was in those comedy movies with Steve Martin, I think. It was the son, I think the son-in-law, he was marrying his daughter.
Oh, Father of the Bride?
Or something. It could have been, but I just remember George Newbern in that. And obviously, it's a lot easier sometimes to hear a character's voice, but obviously picture who they are in real life. But I like what you said, is the fact that they bring him back for the movies. I just watched Justice League versus the Fatal Five last week for the first time, and you can just listen to those characters. It just brings you back to childhood, listening to those characters, and they can Kevin Conroy is amazing as Batman. Like, honestly, you hear that voice and straight away it's Batman. You watch another animated movie and it's not him, and you know it's not the same thing. Like, I know Batman. Was it Batman? Batman Returns.
The Dark Knight Returns.
That's the one, yep. And, you know, they brought RoboCop in to voice Batman. I think he did a great job, but you just didn't hear Kevin Conroy, and it's just like, you know, it's not the same thing, even though I thought it was a good collection of movies. But, yeah, you hear Kevin Conroy straight away, you know it's Batman.
That is the one animated movie where I'm like, okay, I like your cast of Peter Weller as Batman. I'm like, okay, I wanted Kevin Conroy, of course, as well, but I'm like, okay, Peter Weller sold me on this. And The Dark Knight Returns, that's a different future than the Batman Beyond future, and I prefer the Batman Beyond future for many reasons. So I'm actually cool with, like, Kevin Conroy and all them sticking with that one, and then them getting an entirely new voice cast for Dark Knight Returns. And who? And I forget his name. The guy that did Superman in that. He was on Boston Legal for a while. He was on Fringe for a while. I want to say his name is Mark something.
The name's not ringing a bell at the moment, unfortunately. Sorry.
I think it's Mark something. And I feel bad because I knew this guy before this. I watched him on Boston Legal and on Fringe. But anyway, he was good as Superman as well for that story. But George Newbern and Tim Daly, great as Superman, you know, and although did it ever bother you that Superman never had irises in his eyes? Or I'm sorry, he was iris only. He had no whites in his eyes in his animation. Did that ever bother you? I mean, I never really thought about it. I never really thought about it until I was on the internet and people started talking about that, because, you know, the minutia people talk about on the internet. I was like, oh, he's right. But I guess because he never had them, it never bothered me. So I just accepted that as how Superman's face looked.
It also kind of reminds me of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, in some of the portrayals of that, you see them with, you know, the eyes, and the other ones, they're just white. And it's just like, okay, obviously they must have lost money for the eyes for this series, so let's just move on for the next part.
All right. Yeah, but I think Superman really, it's tough because the Batman animated series was so perfect. Everybody says, oh, well, Kevin Conroy in the animated series is the iconic Batman. But does anyone say that about Superman? Like, Tim Daly and Superman is the iconic Superman. Like, I think people, again, you're in the shadow of Christopher Reeve forever. Yeah. You know, I mean, Michael Keaton was great as Batman, but it was different enough from the comics where it was like, well, I mean, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. I, you know, there's a there's a deal with Christopher Reeve where it's like, oh yeah, he was absolutely everything off the page Superman. So like, there's really no need for a different version, I guess, in people's minds. Because I don't know. Have you heard people say that about Tim Daly or George Newbern as Superman? Because I honestly, as much as I love those interpretations, I really haven't.
I'm the same. I haven't heard anything in the same context as Kevin Conroy. I think it's the fact that, like you said, two different voice actors voiced that character in the animated series and Justice League. I think the one voice you can take out of that is probably Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor. That's probably the iconic role in that series, was probably him, more so of Superman himself. Dana Delaney does a great job as Lois Lane, I think.
Yes. Yes. From originally in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, as Batman's old flame Andrea Beaumont. So and the animated series used to do that. Like, they've had guest stars and like, you did great. We're going to give you a starring role in the next show. And I like how they did that, because she was great as Lois Lane.
Oh, she was fantastic. But going into the voice actor side of things, like you said, that they used the actors, the main voice actors, to voice, you know, supplementary characters. Going back to, I think you talked about this in your Patreon just the other day, the episode when Lex and the Flash change.
Yes.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure Michael Rosenbaum actually voices one of the other villains in the episode as well, or it might have been a previous episode, but...
Yeah, I think it's like Magnetron or someone of these...
But
he does that, I think he did that, and he also did Ghoul on Batman Beyond, the Scarecrow-looking guy.
It's just funny how they try and make us think it's a different actor, but straight away we hear that voice, and you know who it is, but... My favorite part in that scene was when Clancy Brown, you know, he knows he's the Flash. He takes the mask off and he goes, "I've got no idea who this is."
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the case of, you have Michael Rosenbaum actually voicing Lex Luthor on Justice League, because it's Lex Luthor in the Flash's body. Of course, that Wally West played by Michael Rosenbaum. That is a great scene. Yeah. Although my favorite is probably when it's the Flash in Lex's body. He's in the bathroom. He was talking to the Justice League or something, right? He was in there doing something away from the villains, and then he's leaving, and Gorilla Grodd's like, "Aren't you gonna wash your hands?" He's like, "No, because I'm evil." it's so funny, it's so great. That was a great, and that's actually that's from the last season of Justice League Unlimited, which I think you know, and it's so weird how they cut up all these seasons, right? I think there's like two seasons of Justice League, and then two seasons of Justice League Unlimited, right? So. Yeah. The first season of Justice League Unlimited, de facto third season of Justice League, it has the whole President Lex arc and all that stuff. And it's all built by Lexiac, all these, because they thought they weren't going to get another season. So they're like, put everything in there. Throw it all in there. And it's this epic ending. And then you get Epilogue, right? Which is the, you know, Batman Beyond series finale and the Justice League series finale. Yeah. And then the DC animated universe ends where it begins, when you have the guy in the bat wings flying in the clouds and a blimp, like, "Oh my God, what was that?" And I'm like, that is Marvel Endgame perfection, I think, for ending something, right? But then they got another season, and you're like, oh, well, we kind of did all the big things we did. So there's a lot of one-offs about characters you never saw and new characters and stuff. But episodes like The Great Brain Robbery, I believe it's called, justify that extra season, because it's so much fun. And it's something you wouldn't see earlier, but they have a chance. They have breathing room to tell that kind of stuff now. So all you got to do, guys, is just watch Epilogue at the end of whatever rewatch you do, and everything is fine. So anyway.
Talking earlier about the fact that I wasn't too much into comic books, and after watching the series, the one thing I liked when they introduced Justice League Unlimited is they just brought in so many Justice League characters I never knew existed in the DC space. Like The Question. Like, how good is that character? I reckon he's interesting, but like, can he make a movie in his own? I don't think so. But you know, obviously, he bought Black Canary. Obviously, the Arrow was in, you know, Green Arrow was in that series. Plus, you know, all these other different characters I never knew existed in the DC space.
Captain Atom. Awesome.
Yep, Captain Atom. You know, and I just thought it was good that they brought all those characters in. Just so if you, as a DC fan, did not know who they were and you hadn't been into the comic book side of things, here they are right in front of you. So if you like their character, go and read the comic books and you find out more about them. Booster Gold, Now, that's another a character. I think you've spoken about him as well, especially in season 10 of Smallville, that episode he portrayed. I just loved his outfit with all his sponsorships. I thought he looked like a NASCAR. And I just thought his portrayal, and I've always had a thing that I think Nathan Fillion would be perfect to play that character. I don't know why. Mm. I've just got that vision of Nathan Fillion as Booster Gold.
He could still do it too. I think he's still the right age.
I think so. But, you know, he's obviously gone off from doing Castle. Now he's doing The Rookie and stuff like that. Like, you know, so he's obviously in a different space right now. But, just the animated world, like you said, it's just from start to finish. You could watch them as a whole and just be amazed at how good they still are today. I saw they still hold awesome value now as they did, you know, 10 years ago. I think, compared to some series, I've never watched the new Justice League animated TV series they've got because, to me, it's just not what I grew up with, so I haven't even watched it. I don't know if I'm... That's a bad thing.
I haven't either.
And as you know, there's just so much going on in the space, Arrowverse and all the movies and stuff like that. You can't keep up with everything.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, and I'm not like a comic book connoisseur, right? Lance, as I often defer to his comic knowledge, because he knows a lot more than I do about comics. but I made it a mission for myself to collect every single issue of the DC Animated Universe tie-in comics. Because... Yeah. Like, I love the DCAU. This expands the story. A lot of things contradict because they, like... There's, like, a Batman-Superman crossover before he crossed over on the animated show, right? Yep. And there's also just all kinds of characters that are introduced differently and all that stuff. But it's still tangentially connected to the DCAU. And if they don't contradict what's on screen, then it's canon. It's kind of like the Star Trek rule for its expanding universe, or the Star Wars rule as well. All these franchises. But... The reason I want to collect all that stuff is because there's a finite number, right? Like, it's done. It's closed. It's a closed universe. Like, I know they're making, like, Batman and Harley Quinn and stuff like that now. So maybe every now and then there's something new that might fit in there. But on the whole, it's a complete thing. It's done. It has a definitive end. You know, the Batman Beyond and an epilogue and that kind of stuff. And to me, that's appealing because the comics, as they are never going to end. I can never collect every issue of Superman comics, nor would I want to, frankly. But with the DC Animated Universe, it's fun because it's something I grew up with. It's nostalgic. It's good. It still holds up. Like you said, they do still hold up. Like Batman the Animated Series, those episodes are fantastic. You know, I mean, there's some stinkers, right? We can talk about those another time, maybe. But I think Superman, right? I think Superman the Animated Series, and it's so great that you're doing your podcast covering it, is... It's kind of overlooked, right? Because Batman reigns supreme, as you know, as usual it seems in this day and age. But Batman the Animated Series established the DCAU, but Superman the Animated Series opened the world, right? Different cities than Gotham, different planets than Earth, right? And that set the stage for Batman Beyond and Justice League and everything that came after. And if you didn't have Superman kind of like, okay, that was great what's going on there in Gotham, but here's what's going on in the greater DC universe. Here's The Flash. Here's Green Lantern, right? Here's all these things that we wanted to see, and now we can see that, and that set the stage for everything afterward that really tied everything. The Batman Beyond and Justice League are really what made it a true universe instead of, like, there's a Batman show and a Superman show. What came after it were those two universes, and I think Superman is underappreciated. As usual, he's underappreciated, but he's an underappreciated puzzle piece to the DCAU.
Well, I think the one thing is we can always... is the fact that you mentioned the word Superman. Everyone knows who he is. I think we're lucky in that fact that doesn't matter in what country you are around the world, as soon as you mention the word Superman, everyone knows who that is, whether it's from the movies, the TV shows, the comics. He's just that popular of a character. I don't think even after you and I are both gone, you know, hopefully many, many years from now, you'll still be that character that, you know, will be known forever. And they'll come up with new stories and how to bring him to life. And, hopefully they don't change it too much. I think the baseline is there still. I still think they can bring it better on the big screen, but that's obviously people make a lot more money than me and you. Hopefully make those decisions, but I don't think if they need to. I think listen to the fans. I think if they got the fans to come up with an idea how to make a movie, I think it'd be 10 times better than these big corporate governments that are making the movies they are now.
Well, it's like people are like, well, could you write a better movie? I'm like, yeah, you know, actually, I think I could. Like, I'm just saying. And not because of me, not because I'm some genius, because I know the source material, and I'm like, yep. And you have countless years of excellent stuff to choose from, and yet you guys are just cherry-picking the... Hey, everybody likes Batman Year One and Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, I like that stuff too. But there's other things you could do and without wedging in the death of Superman and Justice League and World's Finest and seeing what sticks. Like, just make, like, you can't really expand these to movies, right? But if there was a, you know, God forbid they ever make a live action weekly Superman show again, apparently that's just off limits. But if they did that, just go remake and expand episodes of Superman the Animated Series, and it's all there. It's all there. That's all you need. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Nathan, it's been a lot of fun talking about this stuff, man. And as long as you're a resident of level 33.1, we can do this every month if it's just you choose. If people want to find you out there online, Twitter, podcasts, all that good stuff, where can they find you?
So for me, my podcast, and it's a very weird name, so I apologize. I was pretty quick in making up the name. So it's at Sup Animated Pod. That's capital SUP, capital A Animated, and capital P Pod. I know it's pretty full on. I've actually got my own Twitter page itself. It's the mword 81. So themword 81. And you can find the podcast on Podbean or on Apple Podcasts. So it'd be great to hear from you.
Nathan is a member of Level 33.1, hence we have our first 33.1 special for all your listening entertainment. So if you guys would like to have your own conversation with me or a round table, if there's more than one of y'all who wants to, Nathan is he's all alone on Level 33.1 right now. It's lonely there. All right. So he wants friends to come live with him on Level 33.1. So if you guys want to join up too, go to the Patreon. All the information is there. Of course, I'm referencing, you know, the Luther Corp secret facility that we occasionally get glimpses of in small. We never actually get a good look at 33.1, do we? Because in Jinx, it's like this white room with this, you know, rotating light. That's all we see. And then in Subterranean at the end of the episode, it's like a jail with people like reaching out to grab Lex. So I'm not really sure what it's like in there. But hopefully it's been a nice experience for you, Nathan. So you like your combination.
No, it's been fantastic, Zach. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonCSCH. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, Trek FM's original series podcast, talking about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. Find us on Facebook at Always Swollen to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. And finally, again, if you'd like to join the Always Swollen to Smallville Patreon, we do have several tiers of our Patreon. You can find out all that information at patreon.com/alwaysmallville. Again, with one S. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about animated Superman and Superman the Animated Series and all the fun tangents we had here, Nathan. But until next time, always hold on to Smallville.